Good morning. Zandra Lopez on behalf of Mr. Quinones-Martinez. Mr. Quinones-Martinez's conviction must be reversed because it was based solely on his prior admissions of alienage without any evidence of the truthfulness of those admissions or independent evidence regarding alienage. Moreover, the government failed to establish under the Taylor analysis that the prior conviction of robbery constituted a crime of violence under 2L1.2b. First, in regards to the element of alienage, the government relied exclusively on admissions made by Mr. Quinones-Martinez to prove this element, but failed to provide any evidence regarding the truthfulness of those prior admissions. It's true that the government did present admissions made after his arrest and during an immigration judge's hearing, but there was no information of truthfulness regarding why those statements were reliable.
Well, they catch him in the desert, right, just a few miles from the border. He's dirty. He's full of brush. He says he's an illegal alien. I mean, what do they need?
I understand, Your Honor. I think Your Honor is relying on the corroborating evidence as to his admissions, but I don't think there's sufficient evidence. The facts as they were presented at trial was that Mr. Quinones-Martinez was found 8 miles from the border. He was walking on a public road. When the Border Patrol agent approached him, he answered the questions. The Border Patrol agent testified.
Why shouldn't we take him at his word if he says he just snuck in a few days before? What reason do we have to doubt him?
Well, that's the question that we raise on appeal, is whether those admissions alone are sufficient. And there is a lack of any trustworthiness of those admissions. In Galindo Gallegos...
What you're really saying is, Mr. Quinones, can I be believed?
Well, actually, there's evidence at trial that he lied twice to the agents stating that he was a United States citizen.
And the jury didn't buy that. You know?
I understand, Your Honor, but our reasoning, our argument is that Lopez Alvarez, Opper, all require that there be more than just admissions by the defendant. There has to be something else. And that something else could be either independent evidence of alienage, such as a birth certificate. And remember here, we're dealing with a crime where the statutory maximum is 20 years. It's a very serious offense with very serious consequences. So we need to look at more. So the government could have either presented evidence of independent evidence, or they could have presented evidence of the truthfulness of those statements. There was no evidence that at the administrative hearing, Mr. Quinones-Martinez was consulted by an attorney, or that an attorney was present. He could have been just answering either in the affirmative or the negative to the questions presented by the immigration judge. It could have been like many times in immigration hearings, it's a group questioning. We're not aware of the circumstances.
Let me shift gears for a second. Does he have a prior conviction for robbery in California?
He does, Your Honor.
What's the story with that?
Well, based on the conviction documents presented by the government, it's just that it was second degree burglary. And so our argument...
Burglary or robbery?
I mean, sorry, I apologize. Robbery. And the argument is that it's not categorically a crime of violence under 2L1.2. I understand there's several unpublished opinions in this court stating that it is categorically a crime of violence, but those cases rely on an error by saying that it's a per se crime of violence, which it is, but still Taylor requires us to go further and determine whether robbery in fact falls under the generic definition. And two, the cases have relied on McDarty, which actually applied to a different section of the guidelines, 4B1.2, which has a much general scope of what is a crime of violence. It's our argument that although it is a crime of violence, it doesn't fit under the generic definition of crime of violence. Statute in the United States, the Penal Code require that there be an immediate harm or injury to the person. California, however, is much broader than that and allows for an injury to property. That in and of itself shows that California statute is much broader than most of the statutes in the state. And Penal Code.
The Fifth Circuit passed upon whether California 211 is a crime of violence?
There is an unpublished decision.
I thought it was published.
The Fifth Circuit. Oh, right. Santiago didn't talk about California robbery. It talked about Texas.
I'm talking about Tellez-Martinez.
Right. I thought Tellez-Martinez was unpublished. I could be wrong. Okay. Tellez-Martinez, however, reading it, it appears that it took the same understanding as McDougherty. It implicitly said that California robbery, although it can involve property, it inherently is a danger to the person. But that's not what the statute says. Moreover, inherently dangerous would qualify under the definition of crime of violence under 4B1.2, but it wouldn't fall under the definition of crime of violence, the catch-all provision of crime of violence under 2B1.2. I see I'm almost running out of time.
You're welcome to reserve it if you want. Sure. Thank you, Ms. Lopez. Morning.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Stephen Tokars, and I represent the Appalachian United States of America. Your Honors, we are requesting that the Court affirm the conviction and sentence in this case because the appellant, Mr. Quinones, did receive a fair trial and an appropriate sentence in the district court. Addressing first the contention regarding the alienage and the sufficiency of the evidence, we'd just like to remind the Court that although the standard of review is de novo, the test to be applied is whether, after viewing the evidence in the light most favorable to the prosecution, any rational trier of fact could, in fact, have essential elements of the crime beyond a reasonable doubt. In this case, the government introduced 5 separate categories of evidence to support that alienage finding. And the record clearly shows that this evidence all pointed in the same direction. Mr. Quinones was, in fact, an alien, a citizen of Mexico. The first group of evidence was, of course, the circumstances of his arrest. And, Judge Silverman, you've discussed some of those circumstances. Those circumstances support a jury inference that the defendant was, in fact, illegally in the country and that he was, in fact, trying to evade detection at that time. Also, we introduced the field admissions. Those are the admissions that Mr. Quinones first made to the Border Patrol agents. He did first lie and say that he was in the United States as a U.S. citizen working on the road. But then he did, just a couple minutes later, admit that he was a Mexican citizen with no documents to be in the United States. The third class of statements were the post-Miranda admissions that were videotaped. And the videotape was played at trial for the jury, and the transcript was introduced into evidence. And in that videotaped admission, he did again admit that he was a citizen of Mexico. The fourth class of statements were the prior immigration hearing statements. Those were made by stipulation at trial, entered into evidence by stipulation by both parties, that Mr. Quinones had, in fact, admitted under oath, subject to penalty of perjury, that he was a citizen of Mexico at the prior immigration hearing in 2006. The fifth class of evidence was the A-file documents. Those documents included the order of the immigration judge ordering Mr. Quinones removed to Mexico and also the warrant of removal showing his actual physical removal to the country of Mexico. The government submits that looking at the totality of the evidence in this case, all 5 categories of evidence, that it is clear from the record that there was sufficient evidence to withstand this Rule 29, that a rational trier of fact could have found that and indeed did find that the defendant was, in fact, a citizen of Mexico. Turning now to the question of the plus 16 enhancement for the robbery conviction. As this Court is well aware, there is case law in this circuit, which we ask this Court to follow, that has already held that California Penal Code Section 211 is categorically a crime of violence. Now, the unpublished decisions from last year, there were 4 that we cited. 2 were in the Section 1326 context and applied it specifically to Section 201.2, which is the guideline at issue here. Those cases both found that this same identical California statute that Mr. Quinones was convicted of, that Section 211 of the California Penal Code, they both found that that is categorically a crime of violence, both of those panels. this case, of course, this case law, of course, goes back to McDougherty. And in McDougherty, of course, the court held that California robbery was under the career offender guideline. We submit that the analysis should be the same in this case, that the plain language of the guidelines, which expressly enumerate robbery as a crime of violence, along with this court's prior case law, all support our position that this is categorically a crime of violence under a Taylor analysis. And therefore, we submit that the decision is applied to a 60-level sentence as appropriate. Therefore, we submit that the appellant's conviction was found by a jury properly with sufficient evidence to withstand the Rule 29 motion, and also that the robbery conviction was properly applied by the district judge based on this court's prior case law and the express language of the guidelines. And if there are no questions, we would submit on that.
Wilson? Thank you very much, sir. Ms. Lopez, you get the last word.
I'll be addressing the crime of violence unless Your Honors have any questions regarding the first issue. I'd just like to briefly state that there are several cases in the circuit in which they found robbery to be a crime of violence. But each of those cases cite McDougherty. And it's implied that because it was found to be a crime of violence under 4B1.2, it's also a crime of violence under 2L1.2. But Beltran Mugia makes clear that it doesn't carry the same definition. And it states that although several cases, including Pereira, Salmeron, and Grandbois, may be interpreted to say that the definition of crime of violence under 4B1.2 carries on to 2L1.2, that's not the case. That's not what they're saying. What they're simply saying is that, like in this case, robbery is also a per se crime of violence under Chapter 4 as it is in 2L1.2. So we have to take it as a separator. It's not sufficient under 2L1.2 that there may be an inherent or a potential harm on the person. It's much broader than that. It allows for danger on a property. And as I indicated before, most states don't find that sufficient, and thus it does not meet the generic definition of crime of violence. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lopez. Thank you very much as well. The case is starting to submit. Zero seven five zero two eight zero. United States versus Reyes Lopez is submitted at this time.